What is the Illuminative Way? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is St. Joe's Society Podcast. The St. Joe's Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ by growing strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to learn more about our work, you can check us out online at stjosephsociety.org. All right, gentlemen, this is the Intro to Spiritual Theology, Episode 18. And today we are going to introduce the Illuminative Way of the Interior Life. So last month, we discussed the first of the three ways of the interior life, namely the purgative way. As we discovered last month, the purgative way is the first stage on the path to holiness. Now, we discussed the nature and purpose of the purgative way last month, defined what it means to be a beginner, and finally discovered the most important task in the life of the beginner, namely doing penance and mortification. This week, we're going to introduce the second of the three ways of the interior life, which is called the Illuminative Way. In the Illuminative Way, okay, the soul is starting to ordain itself with Christian virtues, okay? So we're going to look at this week the nature of the Illuminative Way, the two classes of souls at this stage, and then what program a person has to follow in order to start making progress. Now, this month, we for the Illuminative Way, I have 5 episodes planned. So we'll release the first two this week, and then the subsequent next 3. What we're going to discuss is the introduction to the Illuminative Way, as I mentioned. So we'll do this today. Then I'm going to talk about the prayer of the proficients. What's the prayer life supposed to look like at this stage? Then we'll discuss the moral and theological virtues before finally turning our attention to the counterattacks of the enemy as you start to make progress. So that is the plan of attack. So let's go ahead and launch in. All right. What is the Illuminative Way? Let's begin by looking at what St. Paul says about the Illuminative Way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, St. Paul says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." So Paul says, follow what I'm doing because I'm following what Christ does. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, St. Paul says, "Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature be thus minded. And if anything you are wise, if anything you are otherwise minded, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brethren, join in imitating me and mark those who so live as you have an example in us." Okay. So first thing, the first observation of this, notice that the emphasis in both these passages from St. Paul is to be an imitator of Christ. Now, this is going to be one of the hallmarks of the Illuminative Way. Okay. Because the Illuminative Way, as Tankery defines it, is thus named because the great aim of the soul is to imitate Jesus Christ, the following of Christ. And how are we going to do that? Through a positive exercise of Christian virtues, okay? So the imitation of Christ is the hallmark of the Illuminative Way. Now, the main difference between the purgative and the Illuminative Ways is this. When you are a beginner, as we discovered last month, you struggle against sin and its causes, okay? So notice last month, we identified the fact that we're going to try to tackle our mortal sins, get rid of those, start tackling intentional venial sins. We're working on removing those triggers and things that bring about sin in our lives. The focus in Purgative Way is on penance, mortification, and the removal of sin. Okay. Now, souls in progress, souls in the Illuminative Way, you continue to practice penance and mortification. So that doesn't end, but what we're struggling to do here is to become more like Jesus Christ. Okay, to imitate him. So maybe a way to put this is that in the purgative way, it's more focused on the negative aspect, not negative in the sense of bad, but negation, right? Negating doing things. So you're focused on things you shouldn't be doing, right? A lot. Don't do these sins. Don't put myself in these circumstances. Don't. And you need to do that in the beginning because you're trying to create bad habits. What happens though is as you start to turn through this negation, through this purgation, as you get rid of these sinful acts you've been committing, you're removing bad influences out of your life, bad situations. Your soul then is becoming free to take what we may call a positive turn, which means you're going to start adorning yourself with the virtues of Christ and start being like him. So your mindset's different. So even though you're still doing penance and mortification and still trying to practice those disciplines, now you're trying to adorn yourself with virtue, okay? Which we'll get to in a minute and for the remainder of the month. So when it comes the illuminative way, there are two basic classes of souls, okay? So now that we know what it is, people who are on the illuminative way, how would we put these two groups in classes? Well, first is are what called devout souls. The second type is what are called fervent souls. Now, devout souls have a good will, okay? So a person in the illuminative way who is a devout person, they have a good will. They are ambitious to do good things. They attempt to avoid deliberate faults, okay? All good stuff. So a guy in the illuminative way who's a devout soul, this is a good place to be, okay? However, a devout soul lacks constancy, okay? They tend to advance slowly, okay? And so what they need to cultivate is fortitude and humility, okay? So what tends to happen with a devout soul is they rely on their own strength too much, okay? So that there's an element of pride there, which is going to cause them to fail because anything good we do has to come through God's grace. So they need to cultivate humility. Secondly, they're not constant in their endeavors, okay? So a person who's devout, even though they have good wills, they're ambitious to do good things, they're avoiding deliberate faults, they have a difficult time sticking with their resolutions, spiritual resolutions, okay? I know personally, I can certainly identify with this. I imagine a lot of you guys can too, where you have, you know, maybe in a worldly sense, you have a schedule you're trying to keep or a workout routine or something. Or as this is being recorded, it's January 3rd. Okay. So a lot of people are making New Year's resolutions. I think I saw something this week that 80% of people who make resolutions by February 1st, they're gone. That would be an example of this. Okay. So what we need to work on this level is humility. I need God to do the work for me. Fortitude to be constant in that endeavor. So that's a devout soul. Now, what's the difference between a devout soul and a fervent soul? Fervent souls are more humble and they're more generous. Okay. Humility, as we're going to see here, is key to growth in the spiritual life in general, but particularly at this level. Why? Because when you're humble, you recognize your own weakness and you rely on God's strength and God's grace to get you through. With that humility and with this outpouring of God's grace in the soul, a fervent soul is more generous in their donation of their life to our Lord. So people with this fervent souls distrust themselves and have confidence in God. They are more energetic and constant in practicing virtue. Okay. However, so there always is a however, because this isn't the end of the spiritual life, but just the second way, not the final way. Their virtue and with a fervent soul has not been solidified by trial. Okay. And they do need work detaching themselves to things that are hindering them from God. And these can be actually good things too, not just sinful things. So there might be some goods in their life that are legitimately good, not sinful, not wrong, but they're holding them back from fully devoting themselves to our Lord. And then even a fervent soul, trials are going to have to come along to solidify them in their virtue. Okay. So that's the idea. So first thing, let's recap before we move on to our application for the week. What is the nature of the illuminative way in a nutshell? At this level, you are adorning yourself with the virtues of Christ because you're trying to imitate him in all things. So if you just one tagline is the illuminative way, imitation of Jesus Christ. Okay. The two classes of souls are devout souls and fervent souls. Both people who are found in either one of these two classes, they're doing well. They're making progress. It's great. But both of them have work to do. Okay. Because remember, this is not the final step. This isn't, you know, the beatific vision in heaven. There's still work to be done. But if a person's on the illuminative way, they're definitely making progress and they should be very encouraged by the progress they've made. So what is the program to follow? So let's say you're listening to this, you're like, man, I think I might be on the illuminative way, like not positive, but some of what Mike's describing here makes sense to me. Well, what should a person at this level do? First, a man needs to make Christ the center of his thoughts. Okay. When you think about Christ often, that knowledge will lead to a greater love, because as we think about Christ more, he becomes the center of our affections as well. Okay. And eventually, as we start to love him more and our affections grow of him, we'll want to imitate him. So Christ is going to be the center. So in our rule of life, we encourage guys, right? You do that morning offering. I encourage guys to read the scriptures each morning, do some devotional reading each morning. We encourage guys to do the rosary every day. Why? Because what that does is it makes Christ the center of your thoughts. You want to start the day thinking about Christ, midday have touch points where you're thinking about him, and in the evening. So our rule tries to incorporate that in there. And then what will happen when you're following our rule is in between those times of prayer, you'll find your mind keeps turning back to him, okay? So the first thing, make Christ the center of your thoughts, which will help with your affections. As your love of him grows, your desire to imitate him more will grow. So that's the first thing. Second, a man needs to practice affective prayer, which we're going to talk about next time, and also practice the moral and theological virtues, which will be the third and the fourth episodes this month, okay? So why do we need to practice effective prayer and practice moral and theological virtues? Well, we do this, okay, because we're trying to root our convictions of following Christ deep in the soul, okay? So what we're going to try to do here is we're going to move beyond just thinking about God, though that's important. We're going to move beyond feeling about God, okay? And we want to root our spiritual life in our will so that we have conviction about it, okay? So we pursue God whether we feel him or not, okay? We pursue God whether we want to in the moment or we don't, okay? We want that constancy, all right? That's what we're going to talk about the rest of this month. Because what happens, and I have lots to say about the purgative way we couldn't get to last month because this is an intro. What happens in the purgative way is as a guy's practicing penance and mortification, God will give him encouragement through giving him certain consolations. Think of it like the warm and fuzzy. So sometimes you'll go to mass or you'll go to adoration and you feel God's presence, which is a wonderful and beautiful thing. Well, God does that in the beginning a lot because he wants to reinforce a person's good decision-making. The downside of that, though, is sometimes we start chasing those warm, fuzzy feelings, those consolations, rather than God himself. And what God wants to do is he wants us to pursue him for his own sake. Well, this would be the transition into the illuminative way. Because in the illuminative way, we're not going to chase those consolations anymore. We're going to chase God for his own sake. We're going to try to become Christ so that we can become like him. That's where our spiritual life is being rooted in our will. Not just in our thoughts, not in our feelings, in the will. Our thoughts need to come with us, of course, because the will can't go unless the intellect directs it. Our feelings aren't bad, though those will come up more in the future. But at this stage, God's trying to root conviction in the will. And that's what the hallmark of the illuminative way is. So this month, or on next episode, we're going to talk about the affective prayer. Then we'll talk about the moral virtues, the theological virtues. And then we'll show that as you start to make growth in this area, our enemy is going to try to get you off track. So I'm going to try to identify the ways in which he does that so you can identify them and avoid them and through God's grace, overcome them. So that's this month. Super exciting stuff. Happy to be on this adventure with you guys. And I'll look forward to touching base with you next time. Hope you guys have a great week. God bless.